It's all thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Consecrate me now to thy service, Lord, by the power of grace divine. Let my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and my will be lost in thine. Draw me nearer, oh nearer, blessed Lord. Oh, where thou hast died, draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Hold the pure delight of a single before thy throne I spend. When I kneel in prayer and with thee, my God, I commune as friend with friend. Draw me nearer, oh nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. There are depths of love that I cannot know till I cross the narrow sea.
Yes, Lord!
There are heights of joy that I may not reach till I rest in peace with thee.
Hallelujah!
Draw me nearer, oh nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to thy precious bleed.
Sing that one more time. Draw me nearer.
Draw me nearer. Oh, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side.
Amen. Give the Lord a round of applause, saints. Amen. Thank you, Lord. You know, when you think about that song, Blind Fanny Crosby, amen, she couldn't see a thing, but she knew God with all her heart, amen. Writing songs like that, can't even see a word, but she could write that song, amen. Let's just sing that song, Above All Kingdoms, Above All Powers, amen.
Above all powers, above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of man. You were here before the world began. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what you're worth. You were crucified, laid behind a stone. You lived to die, rejected and alone, like a rose trampled on the ground. You took the fall and thought of me above all, above all powers, above all kings, above all nature and all created things,
above all wisdom,
above all wisdom and all the ways of man. You were here before the world began. Above all kingdom,
above all thrones,
thrones,
above all
wonders the world has ever known.
Above all wealth,
above all wealth and treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what you're worth. For you were crucified and laid behind a stone. Lord, you lived to die, rejected and alone, like a rose trampled on the ground. You took the fall and thought of me above all. Lord, you were crucified, oh, laid behind a stone. Lord, you lived to die, you rejected and alone, like a rose trampled on the ground. The fall thought of me above all. Lord, you were crucified, oh, then laid behind a stone. Then you lived to die, rejected and alone, like a rose trampled on the ground. You took the fall and thought of me above all, like a rose trampled on the ground. You took the fall and thought of me above all.
Amen. Give the Lord a round of applause, saints. Amen. Amen. God is worthy to be praised, saints. Amen. Amen. We just have one announcement. We will be having the potluck that we were going to have last week this Sunday instead of, since it got canceled due to the weather last Sunday. I mean, that's all the announcements that I know of. Amen. Just on prayer requests, I just ask, me and Hannah both ask that you would just pray for us so we can find a good church and a building that we can have the wedding and the reception at. So you keep that in prayer. Amen. And all hearts and minds clear. Amen. How many would have to say something? Lord, I need something from you tonight. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Just going to ask Brother Simon if he'd come lead us in a word of prayer, also for the tithes and the offering.
Hopefully Big Dave and Hannah get things done pretty fast, huh? Praise God. Let's just bow our heads. Dear and Father, Lord Jesus, Lord, we love you, God. And Lord, we're thankful, Lord, that you've allowed us, Lord, to press our way out, God, Lord Jesus, Lord, to hear your word, Lord. And Lord, thank you for, Lord, giving us strength, God, Lord, to press on, Lord, and to, Lord, not only be here, but, Lord, to still be standing as Christians, Lord, in this dark hour, God, Lord, we're... Lord, it looks like you're moving so slow, but Lord Jesus, Lord, we know you're at every corner, God. You're at every alley, God, Lord. You're every pathway, God. We know you're there, God, and you're leading us still, God. And Lord, a lot of times we may not see you, God, and Lord, feel you, but Lord Jesus, Lord, I know, we just know you're there, God, Lord. Your word says you're there, Lord. You've ordered all of our steps, God, Lord, any through any discouragement, God, Lord, through every trial, God,
and
Lord, every situation, God, Lord, that makes us... Lord, that the devil would want us to question you, God, Lord, and your word, Lord. We know your word is right, God, and Lord, that everything will come to pass just as you said it would, God. We love you, Lord. Bless today, God, Lord. If any has any tithes and offerings, just bless that, Lord. And be with our pastor, God, as he brings us word, God, Lord. We help us, Lord, to worship you, Lord, in the spirit and truth, God, Lord. We love you, God. Let us lift our voices high, God, Lord, and sing to you, Lord. And Lord, just let out the praises, God, we have for you, God. We love you so much. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Let's just sing that song, Burdens Down, Lord, Burdens Down. How many come to lay your burdens down at church tonight? Amen.
Oh, burdens down, Lord, burdens down, Lord. Since I laid my burdens down, burdens down, Lord, burdens down. Burdens down, I feel better, so much better since I laid my burdens down. Oh, burdens down, Lord, burdens down. Well, since I laid my burdens down, oh, burdens down. Lord, burdens down, Lord, since I laid my burdens down. Friends don't treat me like they used to, since I laid my burdens down. Friends don't treat me, yes, Lord, they used to. Since I laid my burdens down. Oh, burdens down, Lord. Oh, burdens down, Lord. Since I laid my burdens down. Hallelujah. Burdens down, Lord. Burdens down. Well, I'm going home to, oh, be with Jesus since I laid my burdens down. I'm going home to, oh, be with Jesus since I laid my burdens down. Burdens down. Oh, glory, glory. Oh, hallelujah. Since I laid my burdens down. Well, I've been singing and I've been praising. Well, since I laid my burdens down. Well, I've been singing and I've been praising since I laid my burdens.
Come expecting tonight, amen. Amen. Once you sing that song, Give us clean hands, amen. Give us pure hearts as our pastor would come, amen. How many come expecting the word of God to speak to us tonight, amen?
Amen.
We bow our hearts, we bend our knees. O Spirit, come make us humble.
We turn our eyes.
We turn our eyes from evil things. Oh Lord, we cast down our idols and give us clean hands. Give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another and give us clean hands. Give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. And God, let us be a generation that seeks.
Hallelujah, Lord.
Seeks your face, oh God. And God, let us be a generation that seeks your face, oh God of Jacob. We bow our hearts, we bend our knees. Oh Spirit, come make us humble. We turn our eyes from evil things. Oh Lord, we cast out our idols
and give us clean hands. Give us pure hearts.
Let us not lift our souls to another and give us clean hands. Lord, give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. And God, let us be generation that seeks your face, oh God of Jacob. And God, let us be a generation that seeks your face, oh God of Jacob. And God, let us be a generation that seeks your face, oh God of Jacob. And God, let us be a generation that seeks your face, oh God of Jacob. And give us clean hands, give us pure hearts. Let us not lift.
Sure is a blessing to be in the house of God. I heard they had a level 2 here, and I'm like, oh no, I got to get to church. I started having the ponderings and questions come upon my mind. Should we have it at somebody's house? What's going on? And then by the grace of God, we found out the level wasn't quite as bad as they said it was. So we're not. There's no law binding us to be here. So by the grace of God, those who come, by the grace of God, you come. Amen. So, but it's good to be a Christian this evening. Amen. And yet here we are in 2014. Praise God, we've made it another year. And I certainly believe last year was a year of spiritual death, and I believe we've seen that in many ways, but by God's grace, He's seen us through. He's been good to us. He's loved us. He's been just an excellent God. Amen? Just very quick, we are a small little number tonight, and that's perfectly fine. We just certainly love that, but yet we have a birthday girl here this evening. Amen? And little Emmy Salmi, another day, another year in her life this day. Amen? As God's given her a little birthday she gets to have in church, so we certainly love her, and I'll tell you what, she's a good traveling companion anytime with me. She went to Akron and brought her home with me. They just kept me up and just had a real good time with them. Amen. I got some good nieces there. Amen. But anyway, let's just give her a round of applause for thank God for her birthday. Amen. No, usually when you got your birthday on church service, I do say something. So by the grace of God, maybe I'll catch some more of you later. But anyway, this evening we want to get into the Word of God tonight. And like I said, I have a lot to cover, but yet we just want to give God His due time and just be able to say what we need to say. And been feeling led to go this way for a while since I've seen this. So we pray that this will be a blessing to you. Let's open up our Bibles, if we could, to first let's go to the book of Joel 2. When we get to Joel 2, we're going to start in the 28th verse. We know, of course, famously here that Joel 2, it refers to the former and the latter rain. Amen? As some of you know, I've been laid off for a while, so I've had a lot of time to study this, what I'm going through tonight. So I pray that God will find it pleasing, our desire, and what we're looking at. So in Joel 2, 28, it says here, "And it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit. And I will shew wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. And the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered." Amen. I believe if we're sitting here tonight, we should be looking and calling upon the name of the Lord for our salvation. Amen. Notice it says deliverance. That's what I'm crying out for. Remember, your prophet, when he talked about deliverance, he said that the Acts church, when the Holy Ghost is poured on them, he called that a total deliverance church. Praise God. That's what we want this to be, a total deliverance church. Amen. So, just finishing it up here, it says, "For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call." Praise God. Amen. Let's go to one more portion of Scripture, Luke 21, verse 25. Luke 21:25 says here, "And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh." Praise God. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our most beloved Lord Jesus Christ, God, Lord, we're so happy to be here, Lord. We missed a service with one another, Lord, on Sunday, Lord, and it's always kind of humbling, God, because you really do miss everyone, Lord, as the brother said earlier, Lord. And God, I just pray it, Lord God, that you just bless this little service where the word is gathered together, God. Not just the word speaking, God, but your word on earth, God. Lord, dwelling in individuals, oh God, Lord, we're here together again, Lord. And God, we pray, Lord, this night in 2014, God, Lord, you just get us ready, oh God, for the things that are soon to happen, God. And Lord, we've been, Lord, certainly just way too lax on the things of God, Lord. And we pray, oh God, that this year, oh God, in rededicating ourselves, Lord, that you'd move us into a more desperate position, God, that we could fulfill your word, God, that we could be ready for the things that are here coming, oh God. And Lord, we just ask, God, tonight that you just move us aside and let us, oh God, say what you'd have us to say, Lord. You know, I have a lot to say, God, but Lord, I want to say what you want me to say, God. I pray you just move us all aside, Lord, knowing, Lord, that I can't even really preach, oh God, unless the church is helping me preach as well, God. So it's their Holy Ghost, oh God, responding to the Holy Ghost that's preaching to them, God. That's what we need here tonight, Lord. We pray that you just allow it to be a blessing to us this night as we've traveled in this journey, Lord. We pray, God, you'd bless Sister Emma, Lord, tonight, Lord, with great blessings on her birthday, Lord. And we ask, oh God, Lord, as a man told me a little bit ago, God, that there's this family in Defiance that had their house burned down last night, God. Oh God, the Buttermore family. I pray, Lord, that you touch them as well tonight, oh God. Give them comfort, Lord. Provide for their needs, God, and let us know, Lord, if there's anything we can do, Lord. We pray you just move us in our position, Lord. We just ask, God, you just have your way tonight in this service, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. If we had a title for this evening's sermon, we'd like to entitle it, And There Shall Be Signs, 2014. Amen. And There Shall Be Signs in 2014. I have a lot of information here. I feel like I've been losing people lately, so I pray that I won't do that so fast tonight, but I just might. And anyway, that's why they have them little CDs that you can get back there if you need to listen to it again. I believe all these things are very pertinent, very important for the bride of Jesus Christ. And yet, if we had a topic of interest tonight, I'd like to choose this topic just because of the direction we're going. I'd like to give us the topic this evening of the four blood moons. Amen. And this evening we'll get into this thought just a little bit here. We start out in reading that in Luke 21 it says in the 25th verse, There shall be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations, with perplexity the sea and the waves roaring. Amen. It says also, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. I believe even Hollywood even professes of the time we live in. There's all these movies of zombie apocalypses and the end of the world and so forth. They're setting the stage up and they know what's going on. And yet, in all honesty, we know what's going on too, amen? Because, you see, we're not ignorant of the things that God has put in His Word. And we're not ignorant of what God has shared us with our prophet, amen? And what He's given us through that, amen? But yet, tonight, we'd just like to just start to work into this as we understand that Luke 21, it's also a parallel of the book of Mark and Matthew 24 and all these things. They work together, complementing one another. But yet, we understand that in Luke 21:25, it talks about that there'd be signs. And we understand that these signs, they would be in the moon, they'd be in the sun. They would also be upon the earth, amen? And yet, they'd be in the stars as well. And now, we're finding so many things that are going on around us that it's hard to keep up with all the things that are going on around us, amen? And it's amazing because what it's actually doing, it is literally showing us that it's going home time, amen? Praise God. So if anything you get from tonight, I pray you don't get scared, but I pray that you get happy because the Bible foretold these things, but He didn't tell you that you had to be scared. He told you that what? He said, when you see these things, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. Amen? I praise God because that is our call. We're looking up. Amen. Now, I want to go this direction just a minute here. It says there'll be signs in the sun. Of course, we know that there's solar flares happening constantly. And we understand that there's also, what, polar shifts. where the magnetic field actually flips in the sun, if I understand it correctly. But yet, we understand that there's also signs in the moon. And that's what we'll be focusing on a little bit tonight, as well as in the stars and so forth. But yet, as it says here, it says, and upon the earth, distress of nations. And I'd like to just touch this word distress. Obviously, from the word distress, you get stress out of that, right? And very simply, distress is and I like it how the commentator, I believe it was Gill, wrote this. He said, distress is a deep anxiety at impending evils. Amen. So it's actually, distress is actually people seeing danger ahead. And they're nervous because of that. Amen. Now remember, if we have the Holy Ghost, we have nothing that we should fear, nothing that we should even be worried about, but yet we should have more comfort than we've ever had before. Amen. So now, notice you can get comfort from wearing a tie. Some of us might get comfort wearing a bow tie. But yet, in all honesty, we find our main comfort lies in the fact that we have the Holy Ghost. Amen. It is the token. It is that seal. It is what? It's the sign that a work is completed. Amen. Amen. You know I couldn't get away from that bow tie. But anyway, notice it says, upon the earth distress of nations. So the nations will what? There'll be anxiety amongst them. There'll be fightings and skirmishes and all these things, and they're trying what? To all fulfill their roles and their desires. But we understand that distress actually means that they're just showing one thing. Notice they're all pointing for a one world order, right? Praise God. Now notice it also says that the distress, it doesn't just say distress. It says perplexity. And perplexity is kind of a big word, and like I said, I hope I don't lose you on this. But yet perplexity is to make intricate. Or to make complex. So now, there's actually perplexity there as well. But notice it says to make intricate, to involve, to entangle. So the nations are becoming entangled. We understand that America is entangled in debt. Right? And we understand that what? They're entangled and now of the cause of lawlessness. Where we don't even enforce laws. And we would rather what? Make the laws more suit the prisoner and the evil than to what? To actually help the good. Amen. Like I said, we could go all night about that if you just want to open that door, but let's not. But anyway, it says to, so perplexity means to entangle. To make complicated and difficult to be understood or unraveled. This is key. Because this is where we're at. We're at a place that things are complicated and difficult to understand or unravel. There's a puzzle. And what? Every nation's trying to put it together. Every nation wants to lead. Every nation wants to be this or that. But they find that they do not have the answers. They can't. Because only the Word has the answer. And to have the answer, they would have to take their kingdom from Satan and give it to God. So that's why we find the unholy Trinity, the beast, will be stepping in soon. Right? And he will rule the world. Amen. But notice here, I want to bring one more little thought here. Perplexity also means to puzzle, to distract, to tease with suspense. You know what the problem is, don't you? Because a lot of us are in distress and we are perplexed ourselves. The suspense is almost killing us. Really? The suspense is getting harder and harder to hold on because you know it. We know the prophet said. We know that it's right here, but it never seems to get here. So what? We get nervous, okay? Am I missing something? Is this church? Is this church not going to make a rapture? But what church? It's only what the sign of the end time. But when perplexity and distress come on, that is when faith must take center stage. Because, right, when the Son of Man shall come, will He find faith? It does not say, will He find distress? He knows distress will be there, and everyone will have it. It doesn't say, will the Son of Man find perplexity? No, because He prophesied it would be like that. But the characteristic that will not be found very much is faith. Because true faith can only be what? Founded upon the Word. Praise God. Now, we got a lot to cover this evening, so I want to jump in this now as we get our chance here. Because you notice what it is. The signs are in the sun, stars, and the moon. So let's get a little bit into this. Amen. Now, notice this. I want to judge this right off the get-go. The 70th week of Daniel, 1961. He says, now my church here knows that all through the years I've always told you, if you want to know what day of the week it is, look at the calendar. But if you want to know the time we're living in, watch those Jews. Praise God. That's the only... We got that there? You see it? It says, that's the only timepiece. Our only timepiece, is Israel. It's not Living Waters Tabernacle. It is, but it isn't. Because we should what? Be telling from our own selves that the Word is getting ready to what? Be birthed from us. But yet here the prophet says the only way that you can tell time where this world is at is by Israel. It's your only chance. Praise God. So now let's get into this now. It says there's no certain... He said, that's the only timepiece. God allotted no certain times for the Gentiles. Amen? Where's the Gentile dispensation? When did it start? Well, when the Jews rejected the message. When does it end? When Jesus Christ comes back and sends the message back to the Jews. Okay, what years are those? Praise God. So now, let's get into this if we can, just for a moment here. I want to, like I said, move with the blood moons, because we understand, if any of us are familiar with this, I pray that we would be. But yet, there's a tetrad of blood moons that's coming to the earth, to be seen on earth in 2014 and 2015. Now, I'd like to get into this just a little bit, because here's the thing, this is scriptural, okay? And we want to make sure that we're making this say what it needs to say, right? But we just want to say this more... for this issue is the fact that we want to be ready. Amen? Now, you're going to get a quote at the end of all this that'll really show you what I'm really trying to say about all this. But I'm trying to show you this to show you that we're here. Something, just remember your prophet said, he said, when you see these things happening, he said it ought to put you in desperation. I pray that you can get a little desperation from this tonight. Because it's going home time, church. Amen. Now, let's notice this here. We have what is called a blood moon. I had some pictures and I forgot to get them to you, brother. But anyway, we have a blood moon. And what the blood moon is, it is when you can look from the earth and look at the moon and it appears red as blood, okay? Now, I want to show you what that is scientifically. A blood-colored moon is a well-known phenomenon observed during lunar eclipses. The lunar would be a moon eclipse, okay? Lunar means moon, solar, sun, okay? But it says here, it says, unlike the solar ones, lunar eclipses happen when the moon is full, okay? When the moon is not fully covered by the shadow of the earth, but is fully covered by the shadow of the earth's atmosphere. So, this will make sense out of this. In such cases, the surface of the moon is illuminated only by the light that has gone through the Earth's atmosphere tangentially, as far as the angle of it. So, what makes the moon red is when the sun is behind the earth and it shoots forth and the rays go through the atmosphere and hit the moon. And the atmosphere causes the moon to look red, which gives you what they call a blood moon. Okay? Now, finishing that off very quickly, it says, the shorter waves of visible spectrum, light blue, blue, green, and even yellow ones, are dispersed and absorbed in the atmosphere. As a result, only the longest dark red rays reach the moon's surface. A similar effect can be observed on the earth when the sun is setting behind clouds on the horizon, and only dark red rays fall on an object. Okay? So that is what a blood moon is. Okay? Now, how many would be familiar and say, okay, I've read about a blood moon in the Bible? Anybody? Okay, got a couple nodders and a hand or so. Praise God. I didn't lose you already, did I? Praise God. Now notice this here. I want to start right here at the Jewish Talmud, okay? In a statement, look at you. Man, these people are so gifted. That's a blood moon, okay? That's a partial blood moon. Now notice here, it says, the Jewish Talmud says, it's a book of tradition for the Jews. It's basically the Jews' historical writings. It says, when the moon is in eclipse, it is a bad omen for Israel. If its face is as red as blood, it is a sign that the sword is coming to the world. Okay? Therefore, a lunar eclipse, it's a bad omen for the Jewish people in Israel. But a blood moon is a sword coming. A solar eclipse, a bad omen for the world. So according to Jewish history, and that's not thus saith the Lord, but I just want you to see what they say. So their experience, what they even seen thousands or hundreds of years ago, is the fact that when a blood moon comes, there's bad things going to happen on the earth. Praise God. A sword coming. Okay? Now, let's move next, if we could. I want to move into the Scripture now. If we just notice, now remember, we started out in the book of Joel 2, and we find out that in Joel 2, it talked about the blood moon, right? It talked about the signs in the heaven, and how the sun would be darkened, and the moon would be turned red as blood, okay? Now, let's just look at this very quickly here. If we go to the book of Acts 2, verse 14. Amen. Now, in Acts 2, 14, it says, but Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. Now what time was that? That's 9 a.m. When they started counting their hours, it was from 6 a.m. So here it was, 9 a.m. He says, okay, they're not drunk. It's only 9 a.m, okay? But notice, continuing, it says, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Amen. So now he's pointing back to this portion of Scripture we just read, okay? Now notice he says, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, and your old men dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaids I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. Notice, and I will shew wonders in heaven above. So now, notice, at the time when the signs in the skies and in the heavens are showing forth, it is a sign that God is getting ready to pour out His Spirit upon all flesh. Amen. Now let's continue on here. It says in the 19th verse, it says, and I will shew wonders in the heaven above and signs in the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. And the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood. So notice, the sun would be dark. You wouldn't be able to see. And the moon would look like it was blood. Okay? Before the great and notable day of the Lord comes. Now remember, we like to say, okay, when you look into the book of Malachi 4, 5, and 6, it talks about how Elias would come before the great and terrible day of the Lord. And now we find that in the book of Joel, it says that this situation would happen before the great and notable day of the Lord. But I want us also to remember, it says notable in the New Testament, but in the book of Joel it says terrible. So it once again says great and terrible day of the Lord. These things will happen. So God sent us a prophet. Then will not God pour out His Spirit upon all flesh? Praise God. And notice he finishes, of course, and it shall come to pass, and whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, I want to get into this very quickly here. There are some that actually say that there is a tetrad that happened in A.D. 32 and 33. Amen? But I want you to get into what we would like to call a little more specific evidence as far as we understand that even some of you have seen the video of the Star of Bethlehem and how they can actually show what was going on with Regulus and how it was crowning the other one. And is actually showing the sign of the Messiah that the Magi were looking at when they were looking for Christ. Amen? It was a sign that the King was born. Amen? But yet here we find, if we had actually look into NASA, we find that NASA, it says, according to the catalog of lunar eclipses in the first century, in A.D. 30, there were no lunar eclipses till the end of May. Whereas, in A.D. 33, a partial lunar eclipse with the magnitude of 0.5764, whatever that means, happened when the moon rose at the night of April 3rd. This was exactly the first full moon after the spring equinox, or on the Passover. So now they're saying by history, NASA says, okay, on April 3rd, AD 33, you can see that there was a lunar eclipse, a partial lunar eclipse that happened. Which was what? Passover. That was when Jesus Christ died. And NASA said it happened. Now this is going to get better if you like this type of stuff. I do. But notice it says that was actually exactly the first full moon after the spring equinox on the Passover as Nisan 15 began. It said the eclipse took place. Now notice they have the exact calculations. The eclipse happened from 16:12:50, whatever that is, to 19:02:56. So it lasted exactly 3 hours. You know what's funny about that? That usually lunar eclipses only last for 7 minutes. But this one lasted 3 hours. The Bible said it lasted 3 hours. Amen. From the sixth hour to the ninth hour, the Bible says that it was dark. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. It's just another truth that your Bible is right on. Amen. So now, notice this if we continue on. I want to read this here. It says, if we accept this suggestion, then Peter, as he mentions in the Pentecostal sermon recorded by Luke in Acts 2, the moon's turning into blood refers to the event that had been witnessed by all the audience. This supports the conclusion that the crucifixion should be dated by the 14th of Nisan, April 3rd, 33 AD. So what is that saying? That what that's saying is when we read the book of Acts 2, and it says, he said this is what Joel spoke of. And Joel said the moon would be as blood. Peter was actually pointing to something that happened. So the Jews, they knew that a rare eclipse had happened. And Peter said, yeah, in the book of Joel, it said the Holy Ghost would pour out in the time that there was the moon that was like blood. Amen. So So Peter was literally stating that you could see the natural put right into the Word of God. And the same thing happened. It gets better. Now, from the, I believe it was the, he's right around the Nicene time, the scholar Jerome, he writes of some of these histories. And I'm going to skip Jerome just because I can get it from the other one just as easy. But it says the church historian Eusebius, and I've talked about him a little bit here and there and quoted him, of Caesarea, 264 to 340 A.D., in his chronicle, cited a statement of the 2nd century chronicler, Phlegon of Tralles, that during the 4th year of the 202nd Olympiad, A.D. 32-33, a great eclipse of the sun occurred at the 6th hour that excelled every other before it. Now, remember, who's this guy? He's not a Christian. Who's this guy? He says nothing about Christ. He is just relating to something he viewed. But notice this, a great eclipse of the sun occurred at the 6th hour that excelled every other before it, turning the day into such darkness of night that the stars could be seen in heaven. Now notice, he doesn't just stop there. He says, and the earth moved in Bithynia, which is what? An earthquake. The scripture says there is a great earthquake, toppling many buildings in the city of Nicaea. A lot of trouble started in Nicaea. So notice. So what is he saying? He's giving the same time, giving the same example, and saying that this was an eclipse, a spectacular eclipse that all in the area could see. So now notice it says in the same passage, Eusebius cited another unnamed Greek source also recording earthquakes in the same locations and an eclipse. Eusebius argued the two records had documented events that were simultaneous with the crucifixion of Christ. Says, and this guy's name is Ambrosius, verified the reality of the earthquake that had rocked Nicaea and other cities throughout Bithynia. So the anti-Nicene fathers and the post-Nicene fathers, they're all saying the same thing. Now notice this, if we could, very quickly. In another citation, it says, although the Gospels do not mention the moon turning into blood, as far as Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it says, Luke, as he cites the words of the apostle in the book of Acts, refers to this fact as to common knowledge. I like that statement. So Peter was actually stating it, common knowledge. Now notice, no one said, well, no, there ain't no signs when Peter said that. He didn't say, no, there ain't no signs. No, no, Peter, there ain't no blood moon. There was nothing there. But they say, well, how can we get what you got? This reference was so obvious for early readers that later parabiblical writers from the apocryphal Gospel of Nicodemus to the pseudo-historical correspondence of Pilate and Herod never fail to mention a blood-colored moon. So all the citations from all the people that lived at that time, the writings that we found, they all say that the moon when Christ died was a blood moon. Doing what? Showing that when God gives a sign, He fulfills His sign. Praise God. Amen. Okay, we're done. No, we're not. So now, we want to move on and let's go through the history. You understand what we're saying now? When God prophesied it in Joel, it fulfilled in the great day of Christ. But we understand that there's a dreadful day as well. Praise God. Now, continuing on, I'm going to start reading this from a different site. It says, four blood moons on Jewish feast days within 2 years in Israel is very rare. And has only occurred 7 times since the time of Jesus or Yeshua. So how many times in 2,000 years? 7 times on feast days. 7 times in 2,000 years. Praise God. There are now 4 blood moons scheduled to appear in 2014-15, and then there will not be any for the next 100 years. Happening on feast days. The fact that there's blood moons is not completely rare. It's, of course, scarce, but it's not on the level of rare that it is when they happen perfectly on feast days. Okay? It says, every time a blood moon pattern has appeared on Jewish feast days, a big event affects the nation of Israel. The event affecting Israel begins just before the actual years of the blood moons. To understand what will happen in 2014 and 15, you must understand the pattern of blood moons in the past, these people say. Okay? So now, very quickly, just for time's sake, I'm not going to go through the 4 because I got a lot to go. You say that, brother, but you don't get it. And roads will be iced over by the time we leave. But according to this, there was blood moons, 162, a tetrad, as far as 4 blood moons, consecutive years, both on feast days. In 162, 63, 795, 796, 842, 843, 860, 861. Now, of course, I have on here a few things that happened at the time. You can get it later if you desire or look it up. This stuff's everywhere. But notice, I want to go through the last 3 if we can. Now, notice the last one we read of number 4 was in 860 to 861. The next one after that was literally 600 years later. And it was in the year of 1493 and 1494. And according to history, it was on 4 total lunar eclipses occurred on Jewish Passover and on the Feast of Trumpets holidays in 1493 and 94. Now notice, only months after King Ferdinand and Queen Isabel of Spain ordered all Jewish people to leave the country, all the Jews were forced out of Spain, right? At blood moon time. It says, after about 200 AD, Spain became and remained a second Jewish homeland for well over a millennia. So where were all the Jews hiding at? For over a thousand years they were hiding in Spain. Didn't know that, did you? I didn't either until I read this. But it says, so deeply woven into the fabric of Spain are the Jews that neither history can be fully studied without considering the influence of the other. So the Jews were still blessed. The Jews still had an amazing effect where they were at. But yet, look at what happens at this blood moon. The Jews are expelled. Kicked out. Ran out. Evicted. But we also understand at the same time what? Is basically the same exact time that Christopher Columbus sailed for the new land. Awesome. So now, we understand. Well, I didn't put it in here. Well, I don't need to because I remember it. We understand that what? In 1948 and 49, there was 4 blood moons. And what was that? That was right at the time that Israel was given what? To become a nation. Remember the scripture in Isaiah 65? It talks about, can a nation be born in one day? The blood moons confirm that. And that confirmed the blood moons. So notice that it was literally what? From 1492 to 1900, there was no blood moons on Jewish feast days. Now why are we talking about feast days? Because remember, Israel's your timepiece. And now we're seeing that every time something happens on a feast day with these blood moons, something spectacular happens. It what? It's causing for a transition. So notice also that what? There's four blood moons there. Israel becomes a nation. But what you don't know, perhaps you don't remember if you do, is that the fact that right after they name them a nation, all the nations come in and try to take them over. And Israel withstood it and stood. So what? It was literally an empowering of Israel. But yet they had to fight the battle to become it. So there's some good with bad. But every time something major happens in Israel. And what is our other one? If I remember correctly, it was 67 and 68 AD. Because remember, they had the six-day war in Israel. Where Israel, what? All the Muslims tried to pretty much take them over again. Didn't work very good. Israel defended. They withstood. They stood. And at the same time, there was four blood moons right there. Praise God. So now, notice now, if we could perhaps move into a little bit more of the topic that we're trying to go to, which is the blood moons that are happening, getting ready to happen right now. Praise God. Now, notice this, if we could. It says here, it says, this is the only tetrad in the near future that aligns itself with the Jewish holidays. One should make mention here that there are other tetrads occurring as well. One tetrad occurred in 2003 and 4, but it didn't land on feast days. Okay? Didn't see much happen. Future ones other than the 2014-2015 are found in 2032 and 2033. So do you realize, if we actually make the blood moons ring true to another blood moon, it has to happen in 2033. See how crazy technology is? They can go back 2,000 years, and then they can go up 100 years. And of course, they go through it, 2043, 44, 50, 51, 60, 61, 62, and they keep on going. But they said the difference between these tetrads is that none of them land on Israel's feast days. Do you realize what are the chances that blood moons would happen exactly on feast days? Well, you got to remember, who ordained the feast days? God. He told them, on this day, you'll have a feast. So God literally ordained them to be in line with the sun and the moon. So when God told them in Moses' day, make your feast on this day, He knew that in 2014 and 2015, it would happen right on their feast days. So they also would see the sign in the sky. Now, of course, we know this beneficial for us. Like I said, this is a deep topic, and there's a lot there, and I'm about halfway through right now. But notice it says, apart from the lunar eclipses, there will also be two eclipses of the sun in 2015. Amen? Eclipses are for us. We'll get into that in a little bit. It says, on the first day of Nisan, and again on the first day of Tishri, which are the Jewish months and so forth. But anyway, let's just talk about this very quickly here. We understand that April 15, 2014, on the Feast of Passover, there will be a blood moon. October 8, 2014, the Feast of Tabernacles, the literal day, will be a blood moon. In between, March 20th, 2015, will be a total eclipse of the sun. No blood moon, Just a total eclipse. Remember, we already told you what the Talmud said about these things. Is that my absolute? No, but we know the Bible says a lot about it. So notice, if we continue, April 4th, 2015, there'll be another blood moon on the Feast of Passover, September 28th, 2015, on the Feast of Tabernacles. There will be another blood moon, but this is a different blood moon. This blood moon is actually called a supermoon. It's called a supermoon because it will be superimposing in size. It'll be larger than the other blood moons. And this is the last, what? This is the last blood moon to happen. Now, I don't know how long this thing's going to go, but they also talk about in 2017 there will be the clothing of Virgo. Which we understand that Regulus, the heart of the lion, has already moved in 2013 into Virgo. So the heart of Leo is now in the bride. And the clothing of Virgo, if God would allow things to go on, I don't know, I don't say He does. But if He does, the clothing of Virgo in the stars happens in 2017. Praise God. And I haven't fully studied that one out yet. But anyway. Anyway, I want to get into a few spectacular things here. Because remember, these blood moons, what are they talking about then now? They're talking about something major happening in Israel. We understand that even Iran's parliament just put in the news. They said if we would have had the blood, or if we would have had a nuke 2 weeks ago, we would have already bombed Israel. Now that's not just going on our news. These things, Israel is seeing these as well. Something's getting ready to happen, church. Praise God. Now, you want some more? Now, I fell upon this article just the other day. I want to read it for you. It's a lot of reading, but I believe it'll be beneficial to you. You'll understand what we're saying, how these things are so perfect in here. But we understand that in 2014, there's also coming what they call the fire sign. And a fire sign is actually, I've had a hard time finding it in astronomy, but I sure can find it in astrology. But we're not astrologers because that's more of a satanic trait of so forth. But a fire sign is when these things rotate and they pass each other. They show fire, I guess. I don't get it. I don't get it, but somebody does. But anyway, they say in 2014 there's going to be a fire sign, okay? Now, according to this article in The Blaze, they said an Egyptian astrologer is warning that the Jewish people will become stronger in 2014 based on his reading of the stars. The blood moons? No! This is about the fire signs. Let's continue. Astrologer Syed Al-Shamis said on Egyptian television this week that notable events in Jewish history have happened when Saturn entered the fire signs. Among them, the convening of the first World Zionist Congress in 1897, when Saturn had entered Sagittarius, the signing of the Balfour Declaration, which proclaimed the right of the Jewish people to an independent state when Saturn was in Leo, and similar astrological alignments during 48, 56, and 67 wars. So there's fire signs in all those years. See, it's not a blood moon. It's a fire sign. Now continue, it says, Egyptian astrologer Syed Al-Shamis said the Jewish will be stronger in 2014 because of the astrological alignment. So Saturn will enter the fire sign of Sagittarius. My late father and I have had a long history with Saturn entering fire signs. I bet they have. They're not Israel. As Sheikh Daud Al-Antaki wrote, when Saturn enters any of the fire signs, the Jews grow stronger. Don't believe me in this merely because I say so. It's been tested. Al Shamish said in an interview aired Tuesday on Al Nahar TV and translated by the Middle East Media Research Institute, he went on, "We discovered that Saturn entered the fire sign of Sagittarius when the first World Zionist Congress convened." Okay? It says, "The Balfour Declaration was released," I'll be almost done, "when Saturn was in the fire sign of Leo. The Haganah Brigades, the pre-1948 Jewish Defense Force, began organizing and helping the English in 1928 when Saturn was in the fire sign of Sagittarius. The 1948 war took place when Saturn was in the fire sign of Leo. The 1956 war took place when Saturn was in the fire sign of Sagittarius. The 67 war took place when Saturn was in the fire sign of Aries. Between 63 and 67, my late father warned in his annual reports, beware, Saturn will enter the sign of Aries in 67. This means that the Jews will go stronger, just like in 56 and 48. Beware, he said. Something is about to happen. But they refused to believe him. The astrologer warned specifically about 2014, saying that Saturn would again enter Sagittarius. Therefore, I hope that until December 2014, the Arab leaders must do whatever they can to resolve the Palestinian problem, he said. So he's warning them that if you don't make peace this year, you're in trouble. Danger. Danger. Isn't that funny? John Kerry's been there for quite some time. But did you know Obama's getting ready to go? Now, let me give you a few quotes. I'm gonna quote you out for the rest of the part, because I want to tie this in with your prophet. So now what are we saying? I can't tell you what's going to happen. I can't tell you if we're going to see much happen. I can't say, thus saith the Lord. But we find that every time this thing happens, these stars, the astrological signs line up, that stuff's getting ready to blow. Praise God. Might be a rapture getting ready to happen, church. Let's just get ready, because remember why we are concerned about this. When the blood moons empowered the Jewish people in AD 33, 50 days after Jesus died, it was the empowerment of God's people. Remember, if blood moons are getting ready to happen, why do we care? Because I'm looking for an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. I'm looking for God to do something in this bride. Can she live again? Yes, and she will. So now, a couple quotes identify Christ of all ages. I'm going to jump down to the end of the quote just to read what I find significant. In 64:6-17, he says, "We see the signs appearing, fearful signs, fearful sights. We see in the newspapers and in the magazines the moon is turning to blood. We hear of earthquakes all around the world, blasting the whole world." So your prophet said in 64, using this, the fearful sights getting ready to happen. Notice, I should have read the whole quote. He says, "We are living in the shadows of His coming." So he said the shadows of His coming. He said, look, the moon looks like blood. He says, what? There's earthquakes. The same thing they seen when Jesus was here. And your prophet's saying, this is a sign that the coming of the Lord is here. Continuing, a trial, 64. "I believe that we're in the hour, at the hour of the coming of the Lord. I believe that these earthquakes and things that we're having, this moon that they're up here, this observatory and things, they're watching the moon. It's squirting bloody like eruption from the inside of it. Jesus said that the moon would be turned into blood." So your prophet's saying because of the volcanic things they're seeing, he's calling it blood. But we know there's no blood moon as far as an eclipse that was happening at that time. But notice, he was tying in saying, this is that blood moon. He was looking at the sign saying, okay, I think this is it. So notice it says, Jesus said that the moon would be turned to blood and there would be earthquakes all over the earth in them days before His coming. He claimed that they would be setting just exactly the way it is. The difference? Now we have an actual blood moon eclipse. He said they were looking at an observatory seeing it. But we're talking about something that everyone can see. Let's continue. What was the Holy Ghost given for? I like that. 59. It says, when the moon and stars is gone, the earth has weeped itself into the mountains, the deserts, and everything has it's no more. And the world's a toddling like a drunk man coming home at night, and the stars refuse to shine and fall from the heavens, and the moon turns into blood. And the sun blushes and hides its face when they see the Son of Man coming. You'll shine in the righteousness of Jesus Christ to come forth from the grave as a young, beautiful woman to take your mate and live forever and forever and forever. And all eternal ages, you'll still be living. That's what the Holy Ghost is for. Now, he said they were coming out of the grave. I don't know if that's prophetic. Because it's been a long time since that one was quoted. But that's what the Holy Ghost was given for. So when the blood moon comes, when the judgment falls, when the sixth seal breaks out over the land, over the world, you will find that you'll shine in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. What was the Holy Ghost given for? Fear not, little bride. Don't worry about it. There's a man that can turn the light on. Now, I want to get to a few more little things here, and then we'll be sure to let you go. We understand that in January 1964, something phenomenal happened. It was actually used quite verbally in the prophet's message in 64 and 65, and yet is also placed in the church age book as well. But we understand that there's actually a total eclipse that happened over in Jerusalem. And remember what this was. Like I said, I'm kind of teaching tonight, kind of preaching, but pretty much teaching. But anyway, you understand that in 1964, that it was the first time, according to the Vatican, that the Pope would ever go to Jerusalem. They said it was the first time the Pope went to Jerusalem since Peter. Was in 1964. And we understand how phenomenal this was. Because according to history, NASA and so forth, there was actually a total eclipse that happened when the prophet or when the Pope went to Jerusalem. There was a total blackout of the moon. Brother, why are we going this way? I'm talking about eclipses. I'm not talking about blood moons anymore. I'm talking just about this eclipse. Because remember what? Remember, the one is a sign to the Jews. The other is a sign to the world. Now let's see what your prophet said if we can get on with this. He says in Turn on the Light in 1964, he says, remember, this is the seventh church age, the Laodicean church age. According to Revelation 3, they reject Christ. Of every church age that was mentioned in the Bible, the Laodicean age was the worst of them all. It turned him out, rejected him, and put him outside. Did you see the moon black out? Hallelujah. He's talking about what I just told you. The other night, before the Pope went over to Rome, from Jerusalem, Rome to Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the oldest church, the moon is a type of the church, always reflecting the light of the sun in the absence of the sun, and it blacked out. I draw that on a blackboard here 3 or 4 years ago and showed the churches in hundreds and thousands of homes across the nation. What was it? A shadow. We lost yet? Let's continue. I'll make sense of this in a minute. He says, the first time a pope ever left to come back here, come in the name of Paul, and so forth, went down through those places, had to bless the river to cross it, and so forth. What does the river need blessing? I like that. He said, what's the matter with this church age that we're living in? Can't you see it? God declaring it in the skies, declaring it in His Word, declaring it on paper, declaring it amongst the people. Can't you open your eyes and see the hour? These are they that testify the truth. This is the light of the hour. The Pope going to Rome in a total eclipse? He says, watch the great ecumenical move. Is going into this council up there now, just forming an image of the beast in Revelation 17. Exactly what it said it would do. You Pentecostal people going to sit still for that and go into it? The forcing hour has come. Now remember, this is the prophet that said, hey, the rapture is getting ready to happen. The observatory seen volcanoes on the moon, and now it's looking red here and there. Now the prophet's saying, okay, it's the end time. Look at the Pope. He went over to Jerusalem and the moon blacked out. But notice he said it was typing the church ages. He said it was a shadow. Because remember, in your book where it draws out and it has the circles, that was the moon. And now he's saying that when the Pope went to Israel, let me just read more for you. You'll get it. Shalom 64, 112, paragraph 80. He said, did any of you see the paper where they took the pictures of the moon? I have it here. If it ain't a perfect image. Wait. He's using the picture in the paper and calls it a perfect image. Doing what? He is declaring that where he's at is completely ordained of God. So ordained that God ordained the very paper that the prophet took. Ordained the paper that the prophet took to the pulpit. Ordained it. He said it was perfect. Let's continue. If it ain't a perfect image, leaving out the seventh age, which is not yet exactly the way I drawed it by the Holy Spirit, the church ages. Let's continue. There's the six of them. The paper, there was six pictures. The seventh is not finished yet. The six conditions of the moon. How in its brightness in the first church ages, dark in the second, third, fourth, fifth, and sixth, just the way the Holy Spirit let me draw them on the board. And then identified them with Himself on the wall of the tabernacle 2 years ago. The moon reflects itself and science again picks up the picture of the church ages. Just as they picked up that light yonder and put it in Life magazine of the opening of the seals, of the revealing in the age of the seventh angel, in the days of His ministry. We'll stop right there, time's sake. See it? So now he's saying, well, did you see the newspaper? He said it said exactly what I said back there. The picture had the moon the same way that he drew it in the church ages. Remember the picture? One more quote with that, and then we'll get on. Okay? We're almost done. Recognizing your day in its message, 64:7-26. Paragraph 26. I'm going to go halfway down the quote. It says, "And as we preached the seven church ages, and they were so perfectly until the Holy Spirit Himself come down among us and vindicated it and put it upon the papers and throwed it across the nation and showed it in the moon, in the heavens, and proved it to us weeks and months before it happened, that just the way it would be perfectly. Here in the tabernacle, He made it known. Here in the time, He made it known. On the moon and the sun, He made it known. And in the position of the nations at this time, He made it known. As the hierarchy of Rome left and went back to Palestine, supposedly had been the first pope back, since they claimed Peter being the pope. Now, it was so tremendous." He said, "Then we see before the seven seals that hid all the mysteries. Me not knowing what I was drawing on the board for the church age, I never, God knows, just by vision, I drawed it. Not knowing that God, a year and 6 months later, was going to vindicate it in the skies. By the moon and slip it across the national papers, I didn't know that. I didn't know that there would be a mysterious blackout in the moon to represent this Laodicean age." So now he was saying that the full blackout, was the Laodicean age. It's black. Just a shred of light. Completely black. Now he gets into this. If you'd like to read later, you can read in the church age book, the Laodicean church age book 357-1. Let me just read it for you. Here is the sign in the sky. The last eclipse of the moon was a total eclipse. It waned to a total darkness in seven stages. In the seventh stage, the total darkness came as the Pope of Rome went to Palestine to make a holy tour of Jerusalem. He was the first pope to ever go to Jerusalem. The pope is named Paul the Sixth. Paul is the messenger, and this man goes by that name. Notice, it is the sixth, or the number of man. This is more than a coincidence. And when he went to Jerusalem, the moon and church went into total darkness. This is it. This is the end. This generation shall not pass away until all be fulfilled. Even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. So notice what's going on. The total eclipse that happened in Israel. Your prophet used that. And these aren't just the only quotes. There's plenty more. But you find out that he uses specifically to place and position himself. To confirm the word. To show that this was a time that the word would be revealed. But now, we have blood moons happening. We have two eclipses, a total eclipse, happening in March 2015. And now all this stuff is getting ready to happen. But notice, if I can read you, maybe one more thing. According to the Huffington Post, 12/24, December 24th, 2013, I just copied the quotation down. I hope this is okay. It says, "In fact, Francis said this month that he wants this trip to mark the 50th anniversary of the first papal visit to the region. When Paul VI met Orthodox Patriarch Athenagoras in 1964. You know, we're in the bride here, and we're saying, oh, 2013, it's a jubilee since the prophet was here. Hallelujah! And the Pope's saying, 2014, jubilee time. I'm coming back to Jerusalem. What? Don't you see it? Obama's going. Who also is going? The Pope's going. And the Pope is going. You realize why? He went the first time? To make amends. Pope Paul, he went to make amends with the church there. That's why he went. And now we find that this Pope is going back to mark that anniversary. Get ready. This stuff ain't happening for nothing. It's time, church. It's time. So I'm trying to show you the significance that the prophet said. He said, okay. He said, look at this. He said, I can preach once every 2 weeks almost, once a month in my ministry. Look at what God has done with this Pope. It perfectly typed the church ages that it was vindicated. But remember, it's the bride time. It's the bride age. It's a time where you take on the Son of Man. The Son of Man. It's time when you become the living body of Jesus Christ. So what is this? It's changing of the seasons. Can't you see it? So notice, we have all these things happening. We don't have time to go fully into this. But do you realize that Revelation 6:12, it says, and I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there is a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. Your prophet said that happens after the bride's gone. Now, I'd be willing to say that if it doesn't happen expressly with the natural blood moons, I'm not going to say thus saith the Lord does, because I don't know. Sure looks like it. Here's what I told a brother yesterday. If this is what it is, do you realize that God has made this so obvious? That we have no excuse. No one has any excuse. This isn't just on the internet. This is national news. It was on Fox News. You see, it's even going in Egypt. Everyone's talking about this. Do you realize how amazing this is? If God is literally showing you, church, here it is. What if it's not? Why would I think like that? Paul is acting like every day the rapture could happen. If anything, this should boost our faith even more that this word is right. From Christ's crucifixion all the way down, the signs and the stars. All these people, and they're putting it right in the newspapers. They're putting it right in the news. And here we all say, look, this is right in the news. We say, oh, that's just in the news. Well, look what Brother Branham did. He positionally placed the news to his existence in the world. To his revelation of the Word. I don't know if I probably got the quote here. But anyway, here's what I'm saying. Brother Branham said, he said, there's 3, 4, 5 signs. There's several signs that showed it was the time. But remember what that time was. That was the opening of the seals. You realize right after the opening of the seals, a few months later, that's when the Pope come and the full blackout of the church happened. Let me read you one thing. One more thing. God hiding himself in simplicity, then revealing himself in the same. This is what I want you to catch. If we can catch all this, if we can catch this right here, Everything else would make just perfect sense. God hiding Himself in simplicity, then revealing Himself in the same 59-2. See, He's already told us this: the rapture, then judgments will strike, sin, plagues, sickness, and everything. The people will cry for death to take them when the judgment. Lord, why is the judgment upon us? You said there'd be a rapture first. Notice what He's talking about. You said there'd be a rapture, God. We thought we had it. Look. He will say it's already come and you didn't know it. God hiding Himself in simplicity. Oh my, all right. It's already happened and you knew it not. This is what I want you to catch. Pay attention right now. Why don't believers believe the simple signs of His coming? Notice. Why don't they believe the simple signs? Continue. They're expecting the all this things that spoke of by the Scripture. And the moon's going to go down in the middle of the sun in the middle of the day. And there's going to be all kinds of things. Oh, if we just had, I got the notes wrote here right here on it to show what them things are. And we'll get it on the breaking of these seals this week anyhow. See? There it is. Just where it's already passed and you didn't know it. Where was He going to pass them and they didn't know it? At the seals. Remember what He said? He said, why don't believers believe the simple signs of His coming? And here it was, the opening of the seals. And they're looking for signs up in the sky. And they're trying to say, okay, and they're paying all attention to the skies and everything that's going on up in here. But they have the simplicity of the revealed Word right here. And they're not even focusing on letting the simple Word take effect in their lives. So, where did they miss it? They weren't looking at the Word. They weren't looking at the simple Word revealed. They're too busy looking at signs instead of looking at the ultimate sign. Remember the greatest anointing that ever come on a man? When Jesus got up and quoted Isaiah 61, said, this day is the Scripture fulfilled to you. Your prophet said that was the greatest anointing that was ever on earth. Right there. The opening of the Word. He showed who He was. Praise God. So, Brother Cam, what's going to happen? Something's going to happen. I just want something to happen in me. Say, Brother Cam, why did you finish on that quote when you already preached that whole sermon? Because you can place the blood moons in the Word of God. And you can show that there's a blood moon that happens right at going home time. Right at the opening of the tribulation. The sixth seal breaking forth. But there's three other ones. Couple eclipses in the mix. What's going to happen? I don't know. You say, brother, you must be saying, thus saith the Lord, the rapture is going to happen in 2 years. I'm not saying, thus saith the Lord, but I'm saying, I want to be ready. Amen. But why did I read that last quote? To show you that it's time to focus on the symbol. We can spend all day and all night looking at all the signs that are going around. Reading all the things in the news. I did a lot of it to get this sermon. I believe this is beneficial. But I'm doing this so you don't have to worry about it. I'm doing this so you can see, okay, look. Something's getting ready to happen. Look up! Shall see the Son of Man coming in power and glory in the clouds. Which is what? That's 1 Thessalonians 4, right after the shout, voice, and the trump. The trump says he shall ascend, and we shall be caught up to meet him in the clouds. Right. Yes, amen. Now it says it three different ways in the parallels. I shouldn't even get into this. But also says that he shows himself in a cloud. What cloud was that? Is that the cloud of the rapture? Or is that a cloud back here that the whole earth's seen? Tell me. He didn't say. I better not say either. But let's understand, it's going home time, church. We're finally sitting, and now it's looking like things are... You can't tell me, church, they could crack down this year on this church. They could shut these doors down in Lima. They could shut them down here. They could shut them down in every church that doesn't go into this council. And you can't tell me that you can't see it coming on. The persecution against Christianity is coming forth like never before. It's an amazing time to live. But what was the Holy Ghost given for? So that when it does happen, you'll be shining with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Let's stand. You love God? Went through a lot of information there. If you want a copy of my notes, I'd be happy to give them to you. But tonight, just for all it's worth, how many like to say, God, I want to be ready for this? If it is this time, your prophet said it was that time back there. But all I know is that if it's a literal blood moon, it's going to happen now or in 20 years. And I don't believe it's going to be 20 years. So God, I want to be ready. God, I want to dedicate myself. Let me pay attention to this word. Let me eat this book. Let me pray like I've never prayed before, God. Put me in desperation, God. Oh, help us, God. Is that your desire tonight? I believe it is. You're sincere to drive in the snow and the ice. God knows your heart. Let's just say a prayer to Him. Would you just talk to your God as I talk to Him as well? And let's just talk to Him and just tell Him that we're ready for Him. We want God to pour His Spirit out here. We want God just to be a living God here and just to show us how much of a great God He is. And we want to love Him like He deserves to be loved. Amen? Let's just pray. Our most beloved Lord Jesus Christ, God, how we love You tonight, God. And Lord, we see all the signs in the time, Lord, and even find histories, oh God, even being proclaimed by NASA, so perfect, God. And Lord, here we are, oh God, in 2014, God, the year, oh God, that these blood moons are going to strike up, God. Lord, I can't say, thus saith the Lord, it's time to go home, God, but it could be this time, God. We could have literally 2 years, God, before we're leaving this world again, God, and oh God, going back to You, God. And Lord, we just want to be ready, God. We want to serve You, God. Lord, put us in desperation, God. Put us in a mode that we can reach out and find the lost sheep of Your bride, God. And show us, oh God, what to say, what to do, how to yield to You, God, and how to be more in love with You, God. We just pray, oh God, not that You'd push us through a pipe, but draw us as sheep, God, as a shepherd leading those sheep, Lord. Let us follow You, God, like never before, Lord. Oh God, this is a distressful time. This is a time filled with perplexity, God. But Lord, take all that away from us, God. Take any nervousness away, God. Take any fear away, God. And let us lean on the everlasting arm of our God. We just prayed, oh God, that Lord, You'd be Jehovah Shammah to us, Lord. Show us Yourself. Reveal Yourself to us, God. Lord, we don't want to miss the simple, God, and look only at signs, God. So we pray, oh God, reveal these seals to us, God. Lord, what's been sealed up inside of us, oh God, birth it out, God, and allow us to yield to You better, Lord. I pray it now, Lord, if we just, God, just find it in our hearts, oh God, right now, Lord, just to say, God, we're sorry for all of this, the foolishness that we do, God. But God, we want to dedicate ourselves to You now, Lord. We want to be ready for what's getting ready to happen, God. Lord, it's going to be a perilous time, God. But Lord, I believe, God, that You will anoint Your bride, Lord. And I believe tonight that we are that church, God. We are that bride. So we pray tonight that you just fulfilled in your bride, Lord. Give us more love for you, Lord. Give us more love for one another. We pray you just fulfill it now. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. All the bride said, amen. Amen. Praise God. Need prayer, I'd be happy to pray with you tonight. I just pray, like I said, a different kind of a sermon. I do these every once in a while just to get you caught up with current events. I just pray that maybe this will make us draw a little closer to God. God, I want to be ready, Lord. Maybe we'll just sing a song. We'll invite Brother Dave up to sing a few songs by the grace of God. And then we'll allow you to get by. Let's just sing that song, It Won't Be Long. If we could, we'll try to sing it by the grace of God. We might only sing one round through. I don't know how my voice will do here, but we're going to do our best. And it won't be long till we'll be leaving here. It won't be long till we'll be going home. It won't be long, and it won't be long till we'll be leaving here, and it won't be long till we'll be going home. Count the years as months, as months. Count the months as weeks. Count the weeks as days, any day now. We'll be going home. It won't be long, and it won't be long till we'll be leaving here, and it won't be long till we'll be going home. One more time. And it won't be long till we'll be leaving here. And it won't be long till we're going home. Oh, and count the years as months, as months. Count the months as weeks, and weeks and weeks, and count the weeks as days. Any day now, we'll be going home. Oh, and count the years as months, as months. Count the months as weeks, and weeks and weeks, and count the weeks as days. Any day now, we'll be going home. One time. It won't be long, oh, till we'll be leaving here. It won't be long. Hallelujah.
As months, as months.
when the music fades and all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's a word that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search deeper, Lord. You search much deeper within. Through the way things appear, you're looking into my heart. My heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. King of endless worth, no one could express how much you deserve. Though I'm weak and poor, oh, all I have is yours. Every single breath. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search deeper, Lord. Hallelujah. You search much deeper within. Through the way things appear, you're looking into my heart. My heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. And it's all about you, Lord. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. When it's all about, Lord, it's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. When the music fades and all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring, oh, something that's a word that will bless your heart. 'Cause I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within. Through the way things appear, you're looking into my heart. My heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. When it's all about you, Lord Jesus, all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. When it's all about you, yes, it's all about you, Jesus. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. When it's all about you, yes, it's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it.
when it's all about you. Yes, Lord, all about you. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. When it's all about you, well, all about you, Jesus. It's all about you. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. And amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. But now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, answer me. And like a flood, your mercy reigns. Amazing grace, 'twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear, the eye I first believe. My chains are gone, I've been set free. Hallelujah! My God, my Savior, ransom me. Oh, and like a flood, your mercy reigns unending. And the Lord has promised good to me. His word, my hope secures. He will my strength and portion be, as long endures. My chains are gone, I've been set free. Amazing grace, and the earth shall soon dissolve like snow. The sun forbear to shine, but God who called me here below shall reign forevermore. Chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, answer me. Whoa, and like a flood, your mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace. My chains are gone, been set free. My God, my Savior, answer me. Whoa, and like a flood, mercy reign, unending love. One more time. Oh, yes, my chains are gone.
Let's give the Lord a round of applause, saints. And even so, come, Lord Jesus, come. Oh, even so, come take your bride away.